With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Whenever I was at a show, and whenever I had a sort of a camera in my hand, and whenever I was looking through the viewfinder, for that, whether it be 15 minutes or whether it be an hour of the show, nothing else but what was happening through that viewfinder mattered. Nothing else was going through my head except what I could do with that camera and what I needed to do to get pictures.
One of the many reasons I love photography is that not only can it take the viewer into another world, it can also be a huge release and very therapeutic for the photographer, especially when there are so many issues going on around you. I'm Matt Bowen, this is Phototypes. Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's Matt freaking Bowen.
Derek Bremner loves to get lost in his images, and he clearly loves what he does, even if he doesn't like camping that much. He's a festival and music photographer still in the early stages of his journey, a journey that has helped him to overcome some issues that were holding him back. Welcome to Phototypes, Del. Where are you right now?
I'm currently sat on my sofa in my front room in my flat in South London, surrounded by hard drives and card readers and wires of varying sorts and all those fun things.
Is that on a proper desk?
No, just on my sofa. Yeah. I own a desk, but it's always been just easier just to sit and work on a sofa.
Yeah, do you prefer to work more relaxed like that? Does that help you creatively?
Yeah, I guess I kind of, because of my work, mostly being music, I tend to work at very weird times and quite often, you know, early hours of the morning and stuff like that, so it suits me more to be comfortable and relaxed.
Yeah, no one wants to sit at a desk at 3 o'clock in the morning, do they?
No.
For those people who are not aware of you, don't know your work, just describe to us what sort of photographer you are.
I'm mostly a music photographer. I've been doing it sort of seriously for maybe the last 4 years or so. I do a lot of festival work, and the odd sort of commercial bit and some stuff for some charities and some things like that. My last job for fun was I went and shot a band called Brand New the other night, but my last sort of proper commercial job was part of the official photography team for a festival called Festival Number 6 in Wales.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's pretty fun.
It's a good one, that. It's getting more and more, well, I mean, it's pretty popular now, but yeah, people seem to enjoy that one, really.
It's so beautiful and scenic, and it's in such a sort of ridiculously sort of model village type town. But yeah, it just works.
Yeah, it's Port Merion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to hear them talk a lot about it on Six Music, and they all rave about it there.
Yeah.
So what sort of artists were you photographing there?
For that sort of thing, so I got to photograph Grace Jones, Ghost Poet, trying to think what else, Metronomy, Everything. But for something like that, what we're there to do is more than the artist, is to capture the atmosphere and all of the people and all of the sort of the settings and all of the sort of small pop-up things that are going on and kind of sell the festival that way.
So then, as well as your music photography and concentrating on the bands, is that kind of thing that you like to do, get the atmosphere and get the sort of setting?
Yeah, it's definitely a sort of, it's a different skill set, and it just, photographing too much of the same thing, like being in tents or, you know, photographing stages and acts, it all becomes quite samey after a while, especially like, it's very hard when you see photographs of artists on stage, it's very hard to tell what festival they're at. So being able to kind of go out and get the atmosphere and get the setting and sort of tell a whole story is definitely far more interesting.
Cool. I'm not going to ask you who is your very favourite artist to photograph, but just tell us some of the favourite ones that you photograph. So a few of your favourites.
A few of my favourites. I've done a lot of work with a band called Gallows, who probably is my favourite person to photograph or favourite band to photograph. I'm trying to think who else. I've had some very random ones. Like I did some work for Apple a year or two ago, where I got to photograph Elton John. I photographed Tony Bennett, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Done Taylor Swift. I've done some like events for Capital Radio, where it's sort of their big summer events, who always have like quite a lot of the big pop stars. So yeah, it's really that sort of thing.
Excellent. Tony Bennett is one person I would really love to photograph myself.
He had one of the most amazing sound checks I've ever seen in my life. He literally sort of like, so his band were playing and he got, sort of literally walked on stage, picked up the microphone, said about 5 seconds of sort of la la la's, and then went, yep, that's good, put his mic down and walked straight back off stage.
I've seen him live a couple of times, and I don't know if he did it in the gig that you were at, but he does a section where he sings without the microphone, just because yes. The acoustics are so good in the places that he works, and it's just phenomenal.
Yeah. I think he did something like Fly Me to the Moon or something like that.
An awesome performer. Anyway, let's take you back in time a little bit, and from your sort of schooling days and when you finished school, what did you want to be then?
I originally wanted to be a graphic designer. And I basically from like 16 to, I guess, the end of my first year of university, that's what I wanted to do. And that's really all I ever wanted to do. And then I kind of very quickly during my first year of university realized that it really wasn't for me, and especially university wasn't for me. So I, at 16, I was kind of given the opportunity to do a very small part of a City and Guilds photography course, where we were kind of photographing, you know, with film, developing all our own stuff. And when I dropped out of university, that stuck in my head, and I'd kind of been going to concerts and stuff and taking really, really terrible point and shoot cameras with me. This is like 12, 13 years ago. So they were really, really terrible.
Yeah.
And doing that made me think, oh, I'd like to learn more about this and I'd like to get better at it. So I went back and redid the sort of City and Guilds fully. And it's kind of gone from there, really.
Okay, so when did you get your first decent camera?
My first decent camera. It's kind of been a gradual sort of step up. I would say I bought a 40D probably about eight years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
But my big kind of, I'd say, break kind of came fairly soon after that. I was at a festival working with a friend's band, and a photographer that I really looked up to was there working, a guy called Andrew Kendall. Used to be one of the big sort of Enemy photographers. And I just very randomly went over and sort of like fanboyed over him and gave him one of my business cards for some reason. And he kind of got in contact at some point later, offering me, he runs a website service for photographers, and kind of offered me help setting up a new website. But then from there, he started putting together teams of photographers to do festivals and kind of picked me out to kind of join one of his teams. And it's kind of everything that's happened to me since has all spiraled out of that sort of one instance.
Yeah, so a lesson in just going over and introducing yourself to people.
Yeah, completely. You know, like through him, I've met so many other photographers who have all been like really influential in kind of helping me get more work and kind of improving myself and stuff like that.
So your first few attempts with your 40D, what were they like?
I don't think they were that bad. I think 40D was the first proper, like, serious sort of SLR, but I'd had sort of a smaller Nikon one like a digital SLR before that. And I think I'd been doing it, like, things for me haven't moved particularly quickly. So I've been doing it for quite a while. So I think I was gradually improving over the years. So by the time I got to the 40D, I obviously wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And I think I've still got some pictures. Like there's a gallows shot that I took on my 40D, which is still probably one of the best photos I've ever taken.
You know, sometimes it's not the camera that takes a great picture, is it? It's the person behind it and the composition and the people in it.
Definitely. But obviously, like, it gets to when I was doing a lot of the festival stuff, although that is true, when you're doing sort of commercial work and when you're doing sort of things for, like, you know, we were working for Live Nation, there definitely is a lack of quality between those cameras. So when I sort of was having, when all of my images were poorer quality in terms of sort of noise and grain and all that kind of thing compared to everyone else, it was definitely time to step up.
So what did you step up to? What are you shooting with now?
I've went from that to a 5D Mark II, and then I've gradually gone from a 5D Mark II to two 5D Mark IIIs.
Would you say you have your own distinctive style? Is that something you developed over time? Or did you set off with a particular style in mind that you wanted to achieve?
I don't really think that I've ever had a particular style, but I definitely have sort of ways that I like working. I try and shoot a lot of black and white, and I try and shoot quite a lot of like heavy black in my black and white. And I think that's really been it. But I have this thing in my head where whenever I shoot a particular way or shoot a particular style, I always then try and go and do the opposite of that. I always try and keep my work balanced. And especially even things that, like, if I shoot a lot of stuff with flash, I try and then shoot a lot of stuff without flash. Or if I shoot a lot of sort of landscape orientated, go and do some portrait orientated stuff and all of that kind of thing. I try and keep everything as mixed up as possible.
Do you think working predominantly in music allows you to be creative and be experimental like that, as opposed to other genres of photography?
I think it does, but I think the only way to really do it, because I think when you're working sort of, say, like, a lot of my music stuff is either editorial or for things like the festivals, and there isn't really, especially editorially, there's not a massive amount of room to be creative. A lot of the kind of magazines have a very specific idea in their head of what they want and what's printable, and especially they sort of have established styles. So you kind of have to fit into that. So what I try and do is go out and do as much personal work as possible and go and shoot bands, you know, for my own pleasure, that allow me to kind of do what I want and how I want to do it. And especially so, and then going and working with bands that will give you the freedom to do that.
And are those projects things that you do free of charge, just to develop yourself?
Yeah, I mean, most of them, so I would say, yeah, most of them are sort of like for free, but I'm not kind of giving the photos to people. They're kind of just for me and my website and portfolio building and stuff like that. And there have been times where I have worked for bands for free, but it's normally with the idea in mind that I'm going to attempt to get paid work out of them down the line, or at least, you know, an opportunity to kind of get better access or do more with them or tour with them or that kind of thing.
It's interesting that, because a lot of people might say never do stuff for free.
A piece of advice I was given was, if you do something for free once, it's a favour. If you do it twice, it becomes like a standard. I'm not against working for free. You know, as long as what I get out of it is worth it, I think I'm okay with that. And as long as I'm not relying on it to pay my bills, as long as I'm paying my bills in other ways.
You touched on it a little bit, but who or what inspires your work?
There's a bunch of different artists that definitely inspire my work. There's a couple of photographers. There's a guy called Serbian guy, I think he is, called Boogie, who did a lot of things like photographing gangs in Serbia, and then he moved to New York and photographing gangs in New York and sort of like drug users and a lot of really sort of urban street documentary stuff. He's an incredible photographer, and an artist called JR, who started off as a graffiti sort of artist and has now sort of moved on to being like, he takes portraits of people and then fly posts them in, you know, 20, 30 foot up on buildings and stuff like that, and in really unusual settings. And it tends to be sort of, he'll go and find people with interesting stories in sort of poor areas of like South America and, you know, make them famous within their own town. But really, like, I think more of an influence on my work is I find people that are driven very inspiring. So whether that's artists, musicians, athletes, anything like that, people who really push themselves and people who really kind of dedicate everything to their work, I definitely find inspiring.
So do you surround yourself then with people like that? I think, I can't remember the exact phrase, but it's something like you're the mirror of the five closest people around you.
I try to. I think the photographers that I work with and surround myself, I think all kind of have that sort of mindset. But those tend to be, the people that I would sort of find myself navigating to in terms of my personal work would be those kind of people, would be the kind of the bands that just kind of give everything, or, you know, artists who dedicate themselves to their work.
And your sort of social hangout group, are they all photographers, or do you mix with others?
I definitely mix with others. I mean, it's hard not to have, when you're kind of doing predominantly music stuff, it's hard for your social circle not to be predominantly music based. So it's kind of, you know, it's a mix of different PRs who have been incredibly helpful, writers for magazines, other photographers, managements, people in bands, stuff like that. But I also try and have a set of friends and a social circle outside of that, because it can be, you know, hanging out with other photographers can be great, but it can also be, there's a lot of politics and a lot of drama that kind of comes with that.
What about social media? How much does that play into sort of inspiring and influencing your work?
It's a bit of a weird one, because Instagram has become my blogging platform, I would say. I stopped having a sort of a written blog quite a while ago, and I find that Instagram is just, it's exactly what I want for just being able to put up single photos from whatever I'm doing, whenever I've done it, and just kind of putting it out there rather than having to worry about galleries and websites and all that kind of thing. It's very difficult not to, especially in stuff in, like, say, for instance, within the music industry, it's very difficult not to be, it's a competitive industry, and it's hard not to look at what other people are doing on social media and then to frustrate yourself with being like, why are they getting that? Why are they doing this? Or why am I not getting that opportunity? Or what does my work not look like, that kind of thing? So I try and, you know, everyone's on their own path, and I try and sort of focus more on what I can do and what I'm not doing.
Yeah, it is difficult when you kind of flooded with all those images from other photographers and, you know, people who aren't even photographers using their iPhone and taking great photographs, and it's hard not to kind of wind yourself up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a lot of bad habits of photographers on social media that kind of, it's hard not to get wound up by that as well. But again, I think it's, you know, like you were kind of saying earlier, it's definitely more about who you surround yourself with. So I'm trying to be more picky about who I follow and who I sort of associate myself with on social media.
What about your downtime, Del? Are you the sort of person who can put their camera down and have a break from it, or do you always feel the need to have something with you just in case something happens?
I do try and always have a camera on me, but I do enjoy some downtime. I do think about photography from pretty much the minute I wake up in the morning to the minute I go to bed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to sort of have a camera or be taking pictures with me at all time. But, you know, I'm a big fan, like, basically sort of other than photography, I spent essentially about 14 years working in the comics industry, It's on the retail side of things. So things like art, comics, movies, TV, all of that, music in general, have all been sort of massive passions of mine. So kind of indulging myself in that sort of thing outside of photography has been brilliant to kind of keep everything fresh.
Yeah. So when did you decide that photography could be a full-time job for you and this was the only thing that was going to make you money?
I've been doing it sort of, I'd say, full-time for about 18 months now. But I've been sort of, again, sort of mentioned earlier, but I've been doing it sort of more seriously for about 4 years. But it's really only last sort of, I'd say about 2 years ago, it was just getting almost impossible to balance having a full-time job and being out 3 or 4 nights a week doing 6 or 7 festivals over the summer and have a normal life as well. Like it was exhausting and killing me, and I kind of at that point had to make a choice.
Yeah. And was that a difficult choice to make, or was it quite a straightforward thing?
It was completely a difficult choice to make because it's I've been working in a day job for as long as I can remember, and having a monthly paycheck, once a month at the end of every month was all I knew. So kind of going from that to suddenly being like, I don't know when my next paycheck's coming, or like I could have a brilliant month one month and then a terrible month the next, and all of that was just incredibly daunting.
Do you still get those feelings now sometimes?
I think it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
I think I definitely get that sensation, but it's allowing me to enjoy the times that are good. It's allowing me to enjoy them more. I don't think those fears will ever go away, but it's sort of having faith in yourself that things will work out all right.
Do you find that they're a sort of bizarrely motivating factor, though, those fears?
They are, but I guess the hard part is that a lot of the time you are relying on somebody else. So as much as you can be driven to kind of put yourself out there and get in touch with people and chase people, you are relying on somebody else saying, yes, we want to pay you, or yes, we want to offer you this job. But I think it's about building up enough of a wide enough client base that something is always going to come along.
Yeah, and how do you find your jobs now? Do people approach you, or are you still actively pushing and promoting yourself to other people?
I think for the most part these days, it's mostly people approaching me, which that sounds weird. That sounds slightly more arrogant than it should do. But I think a lot of my work comes from, I would say, other photographers, or, it's that thing of doing one job for one client, but then they're connected to somebody else who kind of sees what you're doing and then offers you something else, or they put you in touch with somebody else, and it kind of all spirals from there. But, even down to things like I've been doing some assisting work for a photographer that I know and work with. So things like that have been helping.
Okay, what excites you about the job?
What excites me is, one of the things that I've always loved about it is... I've always loved this. It's been a huge form of escapism for me. I've suffered from sort of mental health issues for quite a while now. And whenever I did photography, like especially shooting music, whenever I was at a show, whenever I had a sort of a camera in my hand, whenever I was looking through the viewfinder, for that, whether it be 15 minutes or whether it be an hour of the show, nothing else but what was happening through that viewfinder mattered. Nothing else was going through my head except what I could do with that camera and what I needed to do to get pictures. So that's always excited me. But really, it's kind of a new opportunity, like these days, new opportunities, finding things that are outside of my comfort zone and outside of what I would normally do and what I would normally work on, definitely sort of excites me. And getting better excites me.
Yeah. Those mental health issues that you've had, the camera has helped release you from those?
Oh, definitely. Like, I've suffered really badly with social anxiety and things like that. So before I was doing photography more seriously, like I went through a period where if I was offered like an opportunity that was outside my comfort zone or sort of scared me slightly, I would always say no, because the sort of the fear of doing it would always be too massive. I kind of, the more I've done photography, the more it's built up my confidence to be able to kind of just say yes to pretty much anything that comes my way. And also, you know, again, things like doing a lot of the festival work is you have to be able to approach people. You have to be able to go up and ask people for portraits, or you know, be put in situations that have been massively difficult for me. But it's been amazing for that, and also given me a sense of sort of self-worth that wasn't necessarily there before.
Yeah, and looking back at those pictures, when you have kind of gone over to those people and asked for those portraits, and you've got an amazing portrait back when you're going through the edit, that must give you a massive sense of worth as well, and a massive sense of achievement.
Oh, completely. It can be a fine line though, because if you do go up to, like, because obviously not everyone is going to say yes to having their picture taken, and sometimes the no's can be sort of heavily denting to sort of your confidence or state of mind. But it's just the thing that I've learned is just to keep going. That even when things are, like, even when everything in my body is telling me to kind of, that I can't do it, it's just to keep going and keep pushing, and eventually sort of you ride it out, and it's definitely worth it in the end.
Yeah, it sounds like those issues might have been pretty debilitating in a way before you had the camera.
They have been. They still sort of rear their head every now and again, but they're definitely far better than they used to be.
See the camera as sort of, I don't know, bringing it into a comic analogy, your sort of force field to help you do that?
Yeah, well, I think it's, for instance, it gives you a purpose, and it gives you a reason to be doing stuff. And I think, again, like the thing that, one of the things, especially in those sort of situations, is like, if you're not working for a client, or if you're not working for a festival, going up to a random stranger and being like, I want to take your picture, and they may go, why? You kind of, like, just being kind of like, oh, well, I want to take your picture. Sometimes that can, like, if that was me and somebody just came up to me and was like, I want to take your picture for no reason whatsoever other than I think you look interesting, I might say no. Whereas if they're like, I'm working for this person, I'm doing this, I have this reason to be doing it, I'm probably more inclined to say yes. So kind of having a camera and having a reason to be doing things definitely is kind of a force field or a shield to kind of help get over those things.
So maybe this ties in with our next question then, as to what scares you. Just that can be about life or the work that you do, or anything in general, really.
I think what scares me these days is really, like, I know where I am in my career, and I know where I would like to be in my career, and the sort of the gap between the two is a fear for me, not bridging that gap and not getting to where I want to be in my life and in my career. And really, like, I want to get better, and I want to be a better photographer, and the fear of not achieving that is massive for me. But, you know, I'm making steps forward.
Yeah, how are you making those steps to overcome that fear?
I was trying to just look back at what I've shot and look back at what I've done, and just try and work out what in those situations could I have done differently, what could I have improved on, and also working with other photographers and being around other photographers and seeing them improve, and kind of that all feeds back into what you're doing, and again, just putting myself in situations that I wouldn't normally find myself in, and just trying to think about everything that I do in a different way to how I would normally do it, and just try and improve myself that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of our listeners will completely relate to wanting to be better but not knowing quite how to do it, but absolutely wanting to get there. And I think it's about taking the small steps. And
yeah,
if you look at this, if it is a big gap to where you want to be, that looks hugely daunting. But if you do it step by step, and like you say, look back at what you've done and what you want to achieve then, and work with other people and take inspiration from them and make those small steps, then you can quickly get across that gap.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What's your favourite swear word, Del?
I'm a massive fan of the word bollocks.
It's a good one.
I can normally be heard at, probably at some point over a festival, saying that something is fucking bollocks or proper bollocks or something like that. And I don't think you can beat, you know, a use of a classic use of the word fuck every now and again. But yeah, I've never been able to work it into sentences or stuff like that, but I'm a massive fan of alternative swear words, so like not swear words that aren't swear words, so things like shut the front door and stuff like that. I've never been able to use them.
Well, I think I'm going to set that to you as your homework to get them into some sentences. All right, if you could be anything else for a day, what else would you be?
I would love to be an artist of some variety, like either an illustrator or a painter or stuff like that. It's always been something I've been interested in, but have never been good at it myself. Watching people paint and people draw well, it just doesn't make sense in my head how that works, or how their hands do those things, but my hands can't do those things. It doesn't make sense. So I'd love to do that. I would love to be able to be, I'd love to be a musician to see the other side of it or experience the other side of it. But then also I'd love to be some form of, like, you know, I'd have loved to have been a footballer or an athlete of some variety.
Right. Who living or dead would you love to photograph?
There's probably only a couple of standout sort of living people that I would like to do, and they're quite different. Bon Jovi is probably the last remaining bucket list band that I have. They're probably the first band that I ever started listening to music wise, and for whatever reason they've always kind of eluded me when it comes to work. One of the things I would love to do in my work is I'd love to do more documentary type work, and sort of finding people and following them. So things like, there's a mixed martial arts fighter called Ronda Rousey, who is incredible, and she's an amazing athlete, and I would love to do a full sort of documentary piece on her training camps before fights. I think it would be I think you could get some amazing stuff from that. In terms of dead, I'd love to have been around when Jeff Buckley was alive, and photographed some of his sort of small cafe shows that he used to do. And then kind of outside of that, I would have loved to have been around during specific music scenes. So I'd have loved to have been around sort of grunge in the early days of Nirvana in Seattle, and sort of punk in the 70s in London, and especially punk in New York in the 70s. I never got to visit CBGBs in New York while it was alive, and sort of while it was putting on shows, so I would have loved to have photographed in that venue.
Do you think the music scene currently, people will look back on it and see it as a golden era, like punk and grunge and that, and look at the photos from this era now and see them as iconic? Do you think there are iconic bands out there?
I think there definitely are iconic bands, but I think there's no... I don't think music scenes are as I don't think people are doing anything as new, really. Like music these days, I think, has been a sort of a steady evolution rather than huge shifts in kind of people's perceptions and stuff like that, as sort of with, you know, I guess, like, you know, hip-hop and punk and grunge and all of that kind of stuff. It's hard to say whether people will look back, whether the, you know, folks from this time will be iconic. I definitely think that there will be some, but I don't think overall. I think, because I think things like the internet and social media, I think maybe stopping music scenes exploding as much as they used to.
Yeah, and I think they've flooded the market with images, haven't they? And there are images everywhere now.
I think with everything, I think there are, you know, thousands upon thousands more bands than there were then. There are thousands of bands getting more attention, whether it be, you know, songs on the radio. There are more, you know, songs on the radio. There's so much more avenues for getting music out there and being exposed to things that I think it's harder for things to stand out as different.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you say, it's more of an evolution now from different genres that we've had in the past that people are taking and sort of melding together into different things now.
Yeah.
All right. What would your advice be to another photographer?
My advice is kind of, I sort of briefly touched upon it, but I think thinking about what you're doing, and especially when you're shooting, is taking, you know, whether it's a split second or something, just to look at what you're shooting and then think about what could be better. What are you not doing? Think about what you've done and making sure that you're not just repeating the same things over and over again. That, I would say, and especially after you've shot as well, is looking back and again thinking about all the things that you could have done differently and making sure you sort of apply that next time you're doing it. And also, I think working with other photographers, I think, is possibly the biggest thing that I've ever done to benefit my work. So I would say, as much as possible, try and work with other photographers and try and... There are so many small, tiny little things that I've picked up that I would never have picked up if I hadn't worked with other people. Just kind of, just small things of like, oh, you know, you're only using one Lightroom catalog for all of your work for the entire history. You use smaller Lightroom catalogs, and then that makes it quicker to work through. Just tiny, tiny details like that just gradually speed up your workflow and gradually make you look at things differently.
Yeah, and I think people feel that other photographers are unapproachable, particularly if they're of some renown. But I think if you just email people and are nice to them and ask, they're very open.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, I think there's obviously, you know, if you have a special secretive editing style, you know, I'm not saying you should give that over, but I really don't think there's much harm in kind of giving people pointers or advice. And I think if you're worried about losing work or whatever through giving help, you know, to other photographers, then you need to be a better photographer.
Speaking of other photographers, who else would you like to hear from on Phototypes on a podcast like this?
Andrew Witten, definitely. He's been pretty much my mentor for about the last sort of 4 years, and it's him who I've been doing some assisting work with. Tom Martin is another guy that I've done some work with who is brilliant, and I love him to pieces. There's a young photographer who has been working at a really sort of high editorial and commercial level for quite a while. Like, I think he's only sort of early 20s, but he's been doing it since sort of about 17. Is a guy called Samuel Bradley, who I love his work.
Excellent. Tell us where we can find you on the internet and Instagram and all that.
My website is derekbremner.com, and my Twitter and Instagram are both at del_photos.
Okay, and what's next for you? Where are you off to next?
I've got a job coming up that I can't really talk too much about, but it's not actually sort of photography. It's doing some editing and assisting for a company that's coming up at the end of this week. And then I don't know. I don't really have a massive amount coming up, but my magazine work will start kicking back in now that festival season is over, and just be back to sort of normal gigs and stuff.
Are you a good festival goer? Do you like camping and mud and rain? And
I'm getting way too old for the rain and mud is it's the worst environment to be working in, and camping is definitely not a good experience when you're working and when you're lugging, you know, cases or bags of camera gear around. So I'm definitely like I we all, whenever we do these festivals these days, most of us and most magazines these days, we all stay in hotels and stuff, which is a bit sort of, it's a little bit pretentious, but I can't, I'm too old to be camping and lugging gear around and getting zero sleep.
Brilliant. Del, thank you very much for joining us and for being so open with your answers. It's been really great chatting to you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Thanks for having me.
Well, if you're enjoying Phototypes, then please subscribe, rate and review us and spread the word to other people you think might like it too. You can say hello on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at Phototypes Pod. Phototypes is now available on Acast, and I highly recommend that you download the Acast app to your iPhone, as you'll be able to see more content on there. For example, when our guests talk about specific images, they'll pop up onto your screen.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.